your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. Views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Gathering here on the Para-X Network. This is Heidi.
And this is Stephanie. And here we are on another Tuesday.
It is another Tuesday, dark and cold Tuesday in December.
Can I just say, I know we talk about this all the time, but I just want to go to bed. I work and I just want to go to bed. Of course I don't, but
no, goodness. There's things to do.
I can't wait till the solstice because then it'll start getting lighter, you know?
Yeah, we get 2 minutes a day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So yeah, very cool. So, and we are not together tonight, just so everybody knows. I know it's super important to know this.
Yes.
Stephanie and I are in our own homes tonight doing the show together, so we're not spooning in the basement or anything like we normally are.
Yeah.
But I had I'll say medical emergency, even though it wasn't my medical emergency, it's my little pup. He got really sick, and he has some kidney stuff going on, which is just not fun. And so I thought it'd be best to stay with him tonight just because we were at the vet yesterday and it was awful. And anyway, so
I agree.
And Stephanie knows the deal.
Yep.
When it comes to puppies and
dogs. Oh, yes. Well, there are fur babies. We have to be with them, you know. Yeah. It is what it is. Yeah, I couldn't leave my babies, that's for sure. You know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, anyway. But we're still here. It'll all be good. Next week, we'll be back to spooning, you know, at the Gathering Studios. But
that's our plan. That's our plan, anyway, for our Christmas show.
Yes. Did you have a good weekend? Were you busy? What'd you do? Anything paranormal?
Let's see here. Paranormal in the way of work. I worked this weekend. And so that was good. I'm doing, and then I'm doing just a bunch of fun, like, holiday stuff. I'm doing a lot of holiday sewing, which I don't know, maybe sounds kind of nerdy, but I love to sew. And so the sewing machine has been going great guns for the past few weeks, making all sorts of fun stuff, Christmas stockings and tree skirts and all sorts of fun stuff. So Christmas toss pillows for the couch. And I mean, I'm telling you,
I love it.
Yeah. So that's some of what I did this weekend then too. So
yeah,
the paranormal, at least on the work front. I've actually had a lot of calls still. I know we talked about this. This fall seems to be, it was really busy this fall, and I still get a lot of calls to do clearings and things. So I'm trying to help people remotely just to keep the madness down a little bit. So, because, you know, it's, the runaround can wear you down.
Yes. Yeah.
That sounds good. Be a poem or a song. So,
oh man, well, you know, we're tired. You know, it's the end of the year. I know I have the last week, I have the weekend between Christmas and New Year's off. And I can't wait. And so many people at my work also take that time off at my day job. So we're all running around. So we still have this week and next week, but all of us are like, oh my God, I can't wait. We just really need this time off. And I'm like, yes, don't we though? Because we just need some time, you know? And I laugh because I always say I'm going to spend that time sitting at home eating bonbons and watching TV, you know, movies and stuff. But you know what? It never happens. I'm busier, it seems like, when I'm off than I, probably not busier, but busy, you know, and it's like, I never have time to sit and eat my bonbons. I don't even know what a bonbon is, but I
was going to say, I can't see you sitting around doing that.
No,
ever.
No, I know. I'm just not that way. But at least we get to sleep in, and, you know, we don't have to be up by the crack of dawn and be all made up and beautiful by 7:30 to go to work. You know what I mean? So it'll be good. I can't wait. I can't wait. So we have a really good show tonight, and we have someone who we just love on the show tonight.
That's right. It's our favorite co-host, former original co-host of The Gathering. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so we're very, very excited to have Kristen with us tonight, who is a Wiccan high priestess. And Kristen, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello, season three.
Hello.
She's been back. I know. You know, we said we were gonna have her on like every quarter or something, maybe even once a month or something. And I, you know, where does the time go? Here we are in November, and I think, when did we see you? It was like springtime because we talked about the spring things happening, the spring holidays. You know,
and I think it was like maybe Beltane.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Something like that.
Yep. Yes, and then we also talked about magic and really cool stuff like that when you were on last. So I don't know where the time goes, but here a half a year later, and now we're here talking about Yule and all of the winter holidays. So, hey, thanks for coming on again. I love it. I love it. This is so fun.
Yeah, I really always look forward to getting together with you ladies, even if we're not actually together in the same room.
Next time.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
We were last time. Did have a hoot. Remember, we were throwing chocolates at each other on the table.
Yes, we were.
I know.
She can't take us anywhere.
I know,
no, that's
right?
True.
It's crazy. But So, Kristen, what's been going on with you? You want to enlighten us a little bit on what's happening in your life since you've been on?
Oh, my goodness. Well, my life has changed kind of dramatically. I'm actually writing for my bread and butter again, which is cool. I'm enjoying that. I'm doing some freelance stuff, and I'm working on a novel that I kind of had backburnered, which is a fun young adult paranormal novel,
kind of
exciting story, and that's kind of fun. Got an author website up now for that. I got little teasers on there, and so my life is less structured than it was when I was working in social services, and I'm really enjoying that. I'm like spending some time with family. I'm creating, which I love so much, and able to do more of my own like spiritual work and my craft work. And now I'm an elder, so I'm not leading a coven. And although I miss my coven very much, shout out to the coven. It frees up a lot of time. So I'm kind of a lady of leisure these days, which is fabulous.
That sounds fabulous.
I know. I love it.
And here's Stephanie saying that she's going to be laying around eating bonbons and watching TV, and now we've got Kristen actually doing it. So that's lovely.
For real.
Love it. But
good
we
for
know
you.
You're really.
Yeah.
But we know you, Kristen, and we know you're not laying down eating bonbons either.
No,
and I will
I'm
say that we,
not,
we
no.
have we have talked about because you had published or you had online you had a link to some of your stories, and I read all of the one and then part of the girls' school one out in Anoka, and I had surgery, so I was off work. You know, I was reading them on the bus because I hate bringing books on the bus, so I was reading them on my phone, and then I was off it was like a week and a half for my knee surgery, and I just kind of spaced it out, and then my daughter was taking me to and from work because I couldn't really walk very well. So I have to get back to it, but I really liked them, and I did tell you that, and we did talk about this on the show, how I thought they were awesome, so I can't wait. I can't wait till you get the whole one out, you know?
It was
very fun. It was very fun.
Thank you.
And the whole girl story one was just, you know, with the girls' school out in Anoka, and it's fun to read because, you know, we all live here, and we all know about Anoka and the whole nine yards, so very fun, very cool stories. So I'll just say that.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm really enjoying creating those stories, and I like to bring some spiritual and magical education to people through the fun kind of avenue of fiction. And so while the novel, St. Margaret's School for Girls, is set in a fictional universe, I mean, it's kind of similar to ours, I have real, you know, real witches and real spirits and things that really happen, and, you know, those laws apply. So it's very fun for people who are into that sort of thing to kind of read and go, oh, yeah, that is how it works. They need to set that portal.
Yes, yes. I, you know, even the, I think I read maybe 4 chapters of it or something. And even as I was reading it, I just thought, yep, I know Kristen wrote this, because I know one of the first things you always said to me was, you know, you gotta be careful. You can't, you know, and even we talked about this on the radio show many times about how if you're going to open those things up, you got to shut them, and you don't want to play with this magic, because the bad things can happen because you don't know what you're doing unless you have somebody there teaching you and being with you the whole time. So, yeah, love it. I thought it was, you know, and it, the storyline is really good, you know, so
well, I love thank it. You.
Yeah. And the other one,
so
too.
It's
go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, I'm gonna like put in a shameless plug.
Yeah,
put in a
go
shameless
for it.
Plug since we're talking about it. It's KristenBartonAuthor.com. It's very simple. KristenBartonAuthor.com. So yeah, go ahead, pop on there and read it. And you know, I love feedback, and I want brutal feedback. Like if something doesn't work for you, I'm not one of these writers that is crushed by negative feedback. So if folks want to go on and say, hey, you know what? This did not work for me. That is so helpful. So please do comment and be brutal with my writing, because I want people to really enjoy it. So
cool.
Yeah.
Very
yeah,
cool. Yes, plugs are fine. Plug away. Plugs are good. Yeah.
So it's almost the solstice already.
It is. We're waiting for that to happen, so the daylight gets a little bit longer. But so we want you to talk. We would like to have you and ask you to talk about Yule and the solstice celebrations and all of those things that happen this time of year. And I do have to tell you, last week we talked about a lot of kind of paranormally Christmas stuff. But one of the things that we talked about, one of the things we talked about was Santa Claus, and who is Santa Claus? And, you know, he's evolved from many different people throughout history, Odin being one of them.
Yes.
And so tell us your take on Odin, because I love this. You know, I'm Norwegian heritage, so I'm like all over this whole Viking, and the Valkyries are with Odin delivering presents, and they're wielding their swords and all this kind of stuff. So,
well, then absolutely. And then you go like a little bit, you know, migrate a little bit in Europe, and you end up with the Krampus and all of that too, which is, you know, kind of paranormal fun. You know, we used to be pretty brutal with our stories to our kids. We really mellowed out.
Yeah.
Because back in the day, you know, it was like, they were going to put you in the sack and take you to hell.
Most of them got eaten at some point.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, most of the stories ended with kids getting eaten. So,
I know. Well, it was bad.
You know, and I would just like to say, just for the record, we witches do not eat children, but we joke about it. We always joke about it. I only eat local children.
Oh, okay. Just local ones.
Or whatever. It's so funny. So, there's always a witch eating the kids, you know.
Yes.
But you know, it depends. I think Santa Claus and that character has a sentience of its own, and is different in different areas. You know, the first tenet of magic is that when you believe in something, you create it, you co-create it. And the belief of all these beautiful little children who are so pure in their energy, all believing in Santa Claus, I believe truly that creates that entity, but he's different in different cultures, you know? And so, yes, he can definitely be traced to Lord Odin, who is the Norse All-Father, husband of Frigg and or Freya, depending on which stories you read. And he is a trickster god and a wanderer. And he's known to wander about in disguise. And he would wear a hat. He has one eye. He sacrificed one of his eyes for ultimate knowledge in one of his mythological stories. And he has the one eye, and he travels around, and he's often seen with a big rucksack kind of a thing. And so there were stories of Odin traveling around in the solstice, but there's also, you know, Saint Nicholas, and then we have the stories in some cases Saint Nicholas travels with the Krampus, who is a real scary hell demon dude, you know, with horns, and he would bring presents to the good children and take the bad children to hell, and you know, who knows what happens to them there.
Yeah.
So there's all these different stories. And then, too, we also have in neo-paganism, we have the story of the eternal fight of the Holly and the Oak Kings. And this is very common in Wicca, is that we have at the summer and winter solstices, we have sometimes a mummer's play that will act out the battle between the Holly and the Oak Kings. And so at the winter solstice, the Oak King defeats the Holly King. No, I'm wrong. It's the Holly King defeats the Oak King. And then it switches. And so you have summer and winter fae battling.
Oh,
battling
cool.
For the hand of the Spring Maiden. And so the Holly King looks suspiciously like Santa Claus. As a matter of fact, I happen to have, well, I just gifted him to my daughter now because she's 24 and she's got her own house and everything. But I had this beautiful representation, you know, the old-fashioned looking Santa Claus type figure that it was like a, you could put him on the top of a tree or what have you, kind of an 8-inch doll figure. And he had the holly in his hair, and he was very Father Christmas, you know, Father Yule.
Cool.
And that's how I see him. I see him as that winter and summer fae battling. And so that's, for me, very special. And the Spring Maiden is represented in many different mythologies. Sometimes she is bridey, which is where we get the term bride, the bride, the young woman, the maiden.
Mm-hmm.
She can be Bledywith of the Welsh pantheon, where she was created out of flowers. And she's this beautiful bride that was made specifically for her husband. And so we also have in the old fairy tales where the maiden is imprisoned in the tower, in the castle. That is also the old witch is the winter, the crone, and she imprisons the maiden in a tower, and her lover must rescue her from the tower and you know, spring her free, basically, so that she can bring spring back to the land.
Oh, interesting.
So we have these repeating archetypes mm-hmm. of the story of basically the cycle of life.
Mm-hmm.
And so in Wicca, we're, you know, very involved in connecting our own energy to wherever we are in the wheel of the year, and that represents the cycle of birth, growth, maturity, decline, death, reincarnation,
mm-hmm.
etc. So, you know, that's kind of how we see it, and it's just this beautiful time for us. I mean, I love the winter solstice. It's mm-hmm. absolutely gorgeous. You know, it's just so peaceful, and you have that long, beautiful night where you can reflect and go inward. And, of course, we live in modern times in a first world country, so we don't have to worry about dying over the winter, which is great,
yes.
because people back in the day did.
Mm-hmm.
It was life-threatening. It was a big deal,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so talking about those ghost stories and things like that was actually much more weighty for these people because death was kind of a constant companion, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So I just think it's beautiful. But what we do in my house is we make a big deal. We make solar oranges where we stud an orange with cloves and we tie it with ribbons and we give it as gifts for, you know, a prosperous new year.
Oh.
And we do just all this stuff. We go, you know, we build snowmen and we waffle a tree, which is to bring the fruit back to the tree in the springtime. And we just make a very big deal out of the idea that the mother is travailing with the newborn son. She is literally giving birth.
Mm-hmm.
to the sun, which will grow in strength toward Imbolc. And then it all starts over again.
Because isn't that the one of the things that's celebrated in the solstice? And I might be incorrect, but the celebration of the birth of the sun coming back to the world. Mm-hmm, so, which I think is cool because it's the longest night. And so you have that balance then of celebrating the sun coming back in to the world.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So. Yep, absolutely. And I think we were talking a little bit about this before we were on air about how, although we Wiccans love our Samhain, okay, we love our Samhain. Samhain is actually more of a slightly more modern acknowledgement of when the veil begins to thin, but the veil stays thin between the worlds of the living and the dead until Imbolc. Mm-hmm. So the winter solstice is actually a time when, you know, that veil is still very thin. And when you look at the really ancient pagan temples in, like, Europe, we were talking about Newgrange and how the sun on solstice morning lines up with the altar in that ancient pagan temple. And so that was really the time where the ghost stories and the connecting with the spirits was done, even more so than what we do now at Samhain. And so ghost stories used to be told a lot at Christmas time. And I love that aspect, and I wish that people would do more of it. I mean, I certainly do it, but I'd like to see a resurgence of that in our culture to connect with the ancestors, because it's really what it's all about, is the cycle of life.
Yep. It's absolutely true. Well, and one of the things, too, that I think is interesting, and I talk with this in my paranormal group to folks, especially this time of year, because our ancestors are with us anyway, you know, whether they're present in their bodies or they've left their bodies and they're in a different form, they can still be with us. And so, you know, it's interesting to not, you know, to talk about them, because I think sometimes we are afraid to talk about our ancestors because we're afraid people will be sad, or we might bring down the mood of the gathering or whatever that, you know, people are doing. And so they hesitate sometimes to talk about their loved ones who have passed. But, you know, it is an interesting celebration to celebrate their life instead of getting sad about it, to just, you know, be happy that they were in our lives for the time that we had together. And also, though, to look back, and this is kind of a fun exercise, to look back on old pictures, especially around the holidays, before we got all into ghost hunting and paranormal investigating and people were looking for orbs and pictures. They were all over our pictures. We just thought it was the camera. We thought it was the lights. And sometimes it is, you know, with the camera shots and the angles and the Christmas bulbs and things making funny things. But, you know, sometimes it's actually how loved ones might be presenting to us, because they're here, they're back, you know, because we have a family gathering or whatever. And so it's kind of fun to see that might be them, you know, to look at it with a little bit of magic and see what happens.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you know, the getting out of the ornaments, I mean, we just, we've had a very kind of fulfilling spiritual time in my house this last couple of months, because we were doing the work of passing on things that were gifted from prior generations. And I was able to give my daughters and granddaughters some things that came from grandparents. And so we would take each thing out of the old, you know, newspaper from 1984, you know, it's all yellow, and be like, this is something that grandpa made. And I remember when he made it, and you hand it to the kid and the kid looks at it and goes, oh, wow. You know, and it's so fulfilling. It's such a beautiful part of passing on things to the new generation. And now, as a grandmother, by the way, being a grandparent, best thing ever, like now, so much fun. I got to sit with my little five-year-old granddaughter, Charlotte, and I brought out an old rocking chair. I don't know if I've talked about the rocking chair. Maybe I have. We have a rocking chair in my family. My granddaughter, Charlotte, is the sixth generation of daughter to be rocked in the, rocking chair.
That's awesome. That's sweet.
And yeah, and so the father of my great-grandmother, Olga, and they pronounce it Olya, was actually the Norwegian pronunciation of that, much prettier, I think.
Yeah.
He made a rocking chair for each of his children while they were cooking, basically. And so he wrote in pencil on the bottom of the chair, Olya, and you can still see it. So I sat my little granddaughter in the chair, and it's a very well-made chair. I mean, he was clearly an excellent woodworker. And we memorized the names of the ladies of the chair. And so we'd count on our fingers and we'd go, Olya, Fern, Dawn, Kristen, Tasia, Charlotte. Oh. And she's learning this. And every time she comes over, she wants to sit in the chair. And she wants to talk about the ancestors. And she wants to talk about the gods and the goddesses. And it thrills me to no end, of course. Because we don't push our religion on our children. But when they show interest, it's so much fun. And my grandson, my 18-year-old grandson, just dedicated to the coven that trained us. And we went to his dedication. It was just so beautiful, so much fun. So, yeah, it's very much a part of, you know, we make that part of Christmas. And part of, I mean, because Christmas is secular for us, as Yule, you know, for us. So, yeah, now we can have family Yule circles because we have a grandson who is... a dedicated pagan now. So, so much fun. So much fun.
Very cool. That is very cool. And that's awesome. what a fun story with the rocking chair, too. I love it.
Oh, yeah. For sure. That is really cool.
The thing is really hanging in there. Yeah, if my house burns down, I'm going to get that after everybody's out, man. And I need that chair. Like, it's so charred, but it's still here.
Oh, well, and you know, I have my grandma's rocking chair downstairs. Heidi, you've seen it. It's down by the table down there. And so Grandma Langer, that was hers, and she rocked my grandpa in there, or my dad, I should say. And I'm not really sure that my mom, it's a smaller chair, and I'm not sure my mom, how did it come to me? I'm not really sure, but I have it. So I don't know if I'll ever get any grandchildren. You know, my girl is kind of a crazy wild thing, but, you know, maybe someday. That's a cool story.
Hey, there are chosen grandchildren, though, because, like, I have a son who I didn't give birth to who claims me as his mom.
Yep.
And I have, and he's a friend of my daughter. And then I have my granddaughter, Michaela, who is not blood related to me, is my stepdaughter's child. And I just gifted her with a 150-year-old beautiful Christian locket that was passed down. And she has the Bible that was given to me because I no longer, I mean, I'm versed in the Bible. I have various texts from different, you know, religions. But she's Christian. And to be able to hand her this and say, this was, you know, this is a 150-year-old locket that has a cross on it, and inside it has the complete Lord's Prayer.
Ooh.
Microscopically small.
Wow. That is really cool.
And so she was actually being oppressed by something in her house. I haven't had a chance to get over there and clear it. Our daughter Michelle tried, and it kind of went away for a while, but it came back. But so we actually had a little circle, and we blessed the locket as a protection. We called her God, Jesus, and we, you know, enchanted that necklace to protect her because she was experiencing something kind of holding her down in her bed. Oh. So we have to get over there and help her with that. I haven't had a chance to talk with her about whether or not she's experienced any change, but she's 11 and she's going into adolescence, and we know how they, you know, kids become yummy.
Yes.
To bottom feeders sometimes when they're, you know, in that stage, right? Because their energy is so powerful. So, you know, you can have that chosen family. You just name somebody your grandchild. Just be like, you are now my grandchild. You are stuck
with
me.
That is what it is. Yeah.
You're going to take all my stuff and you're going to shut up about it. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. But, you know.
I love it. Well, and a good time of year to do it would be now. So, Stephanie, if you had your eye on someone that you'd like to nab as a grandchild, it looks like you could do it and have them in for Christmas or some kind of winter celebration, and that would be fantastic.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, you just never know, right? You know what?
Well, and you don't.
Well, you don't. You never know who people come into your lives for all kinds of reasons. And, you know, who knows? Maybe that child will come into mine. I have lots of great nephews, you know, but no grandchildren. So, and they're all older now, so there's no way I could rock them. They could probably rock me, but I.
Oh!
I mean, my oldest, you know, nephew is like 11, but he's as tall as me now. I mean, I'm like just whatever. I'm short, I know. Anyway, we are half past the hour, so we need to go for a break. So we will be right back here at the Para-X Network. Stay tuned.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
I'm Jenna Valadez with The Basement Files. Tune in Friday nights, 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
I am horror author James Hershey Jr. from the Staring Into the Abyss radio show. Check out the book that started it all. What critics called the scariest book of the year. I am Legion. And if you're still breathing, check out the other two books in the series. The Surrogate of Souls and The Rise of the Revenant. These books will scare the hell out of you. That, I promise.
It is the secret of the world that all things subsist and do not die, but only retire a little from sight and afterwards return again. Nothing is dead. People find themselves dead and endure the mock funerals and mournful obituaries. And there they stand, looking out the window, sound and well, in some new and strange disguise. This secret must be told to the world, and they must tell it. Because they're not dead, we know this, and we'll prove it. So join Mike and Dave every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central for the Odyssey Files. Only on Para-X.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the gathering. Sorry, Heidi.
We're talking at the same time. That's all good. Yeah, welcome back to the gathering on the Para-X Network here. And we have guest and former co-host and partner in crime, Kristen Barton, with us. And we've been having all sorts of fun talking about the solstice and Yule and our ancestors and rocking chairs and whatever else has come up in this busy first half hour. So it's been fantastic having you back, Kristen.
Thank you for having me. Always wonderful.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So, we're
talking... how dark do we want to... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead and say what you were going to say.
I was going to say, because we were talking about the ancestors, and I know that this can be kind of... can be a hard subject because we want to celebrate Christmas and it's all about family and we want to be upbeat. But I was just thinking that I have actually an opportunity... This Yule, one of my very dear friends has been diagnosed with a terminal condition when she's quite young. I don't think she's even 40. And she's coming for a private Yule at our house, and we're going to have an opportunity to spend that with her in a very loving, you know, close-knit, protective type of celebration for Yule, knowing that it is likely that it is her last Yule that she will be spending in bodily form in this incarnation. And I am so grateful. Often I'm so very grateful for my path, and I know other paths give this kind of solace to their people too, but my path helps me understand life and death so that although it is sad and I will definitely cry, I can have that beautiful time with her, and when she transitions, I will still have her as a friend. I will still talk with her. We will still have a relationship, and that's part of being a witch, too, and that's how she explains it to herself, where she's like, I'm transitioning now, and I'm getting all of this wisdom because I'm dying, and I can share my wisdom with others because I'm treading this path, and I'm leaving this world, and that's how it's going to be. And it's just a very spiritual thing, and so I'm looking so forward to having a beautiful, bittersweet Yule with her. And what she's going to do is she's going to make each of us an ornament that will have a special memory that she has of that person. And she's going to write it out and have gift it to us so that we will always have an ornament to decorate our Yule tree with.
Aww.
And that is her gift to us.
That's really sweet. It is.
Yeah. Very
bittersweet. But it's great that you have this time with her.
Exactly, and she's really using it in such a beautiful way, and she's such an advanced soul. I always joke that, you know, she got her assignments done in half the time, and that's why she's leaving halfway through, because she's such a precocious student. It's just like you to finish your assignments early, you know. But yeah, so it's a way of staying connected, you know, and it doesn't have to be this sad. I mean, yes, you're going to feel sad. But
right.
It can be a very beautiful, uplifting thing
yes.
to share with the ancestors at this time of year.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. And, you know, this is, you know, because it's supposed to be, you know, one of the things, though, that we talked about, too, you know, that we've been talking about is that, you know, people think they have to be so happy during this time of year. And for a lot of people, it's really not a very happy time, right? I mean, we have these things going on. We have people that are just, you know, kind of lost. They don't really know what they're doing. They're stressed. They're just, somebody may have passed away. You know what I mean? So it's not, just because it's supposed to be a happy time here doesn't mean everybody is happy, you know, can mm-hmm. I just say?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's beautiful. It is okay and beautiful to experience your sadness. It is just as sacred as
mm-hmm.
your happiness.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's awesome.
So, Kristen, I have a question from Jerry in the chat room for you. If that's okay, if we take a second to take a break from Yule for a second and ask a question for something that you helped out with.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, it was a ways back, so I think it got caught up in some of the other chat room chatter. But Jerry had said that you had helped with a case about a doll that was made to do harm to a couple and looking to
yeah.
harm their unborn child. And so he's asking, can that doll regain its strength when put in a room with other possessed dolls to where it's actually moved and took over 16 other dolls? Is that possible?
Well, here's the thing. I'm very careful about saying that isn't possible, because just because I have not experienced it doesn't make it impossible mm-hmm. necessarily. In my experience, it could happen, but it would have to be a very specific set of circumstances. I think maybe Heidi can speak to this too, where if you deactivate an object that is meant to do something, usually harm, then it's deactivated and it becomes just whatever it would have been. Mm-hmm. And if you've done that properly, it should hold, you know. So the fact that if it's put into a room with other objects that have not been decommissioned, as it were, you know, it might be able to take on energy due to that, but it wouldn't have anything to do with the prior condition of the cursed object. You know, it could, if you put a basketball in there and it's just a regular basketball, it could also take on something. So I don't know that it has to do with the prior condition of it necessarily, but, you know, I wouldn't, like, anything that's in stored with something that is cursed or possessed or activated magically to cause harm, you know, that can infect stuff for sure. What do you think, Heidi?
I totally agree with you. If you properly take care of the item that was cursed or whatever, it's done. That is a done deal.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if there are other items that are now still active or cursed or whatever, those could still do damage. Now, and I see this a lot with houses too, items or houses or whatever that have been cursed or haunted or whatever words you want to call to different things, I feel like they're more susceptible. Their energy is more, there's a little bit of a memory to it. So it's not that it's just going to poof, reignite, but it's more susceptible to energies that from things around it or things that come into it. So I agree with you, Kristen, that, yeah, it's you could put a basketball in the room and that room or that basketball could take on the energies, but it's not the basketball's fault anymore, or it never was. It was, and it's not that doll's fault, because if it was handled properly, it's because of the other things. And I'm curious as to why you would have 16 possessed dolls in one room, and then you put a doll in there that has been now taken care of properly, and you stick it back in there. Like, what is, I don't understand any of that situation. So...
somebody uneducated. Let's call that uneducated.
Yeah, sounds good.
And I'll tell you, it's not gonna. Anything that is cursed or activated like that doesn't come into my house. Period. I had one acquaintance who used to come to me for a Reiki, and he's a sweet person, but he was self-taught, and he fancied himself a dark wizard, you know. And he came in, and he really wasn't educated. I don't mean to be, like, condescending, but he had a lot of false ideas that came from fiction, you know, and you'll see this with people. And he's like, I have this cursed box, and I brought it to show you. Can I bring it in? And I was like, no.
No, I don't want it here.
No, you're not bringing that in.
Like, right. Yeah.
Don't keep that stuff, yo. I don't know.
Exactly.
Well, is this like a trick question?
Right.
No, we don't.
Am I on candid camera now? What's happening here?
Right, exactly.
Well, so what Jerry is saying is he said that the people who were to destroy it put it in, did we already talk about this, the room with 16 others, and in the middle of the night, the door to that room was pounding, and when they opened it, the 16 dolls were across the room, and the one was still on the shelf. And then he said they finally burned it. But I don't know. Is that going to make it go away? I don't know. Probably not, right? If they burn the doll, that doesn't mean
depends.
Yeah.
That's the whole "we burnt the Ouija board, but it didn't work" thing.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, we just got rid of the door, and now we don't know how to close it. Oh,
right.
Crap.
Right.
We took the door off the hinges. We burned it. The hole is still there.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, you know, I would definitely, I know, Heidi, you'll probably say something similar. I would definitely get somebody in there who knows what they're doing to bless and clear and ward that space and do the whole house just for good measure, you know? And don't contaminate stuff. Like, be aware. Treat it just like it's something that's contaminated physically with, like, I don't know, a virus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not going to, you know, take a blanket that was wrapped around somebody with the measles and fold it up and put it in your linen closet with your other blankets and then use the blankets. Like, you wouldn't do that.
Right.
Don't do that with contaminated objects that are seriously contaminated.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, that's a craziness, I think.
It's an interesting.
So it was probably those other dolls. It was,
No, it's just, it's an interesting situation, and it sounds like there might be a lot going on that we don't understand, or they're doing things that maybe we don't understand, so.
We're not aware of.
Yeah, or not aware of, probably.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It sounds like there are some practitioners there who quite possibly are maybe in need of learning a little bit more about best practices and hygiene. Because if you've got cursed objects in your house and you're doing that, a lot of people, as you know, become very enamored of this sort of thing. And they'll be like, ooh, you know, just like this guy, I have a cursed box. Good for you. Leave it out there. He thought it was so cool. You know, and so you get people who are enamored of it, and then they get in over their heads, and they're like, what do I do? You know? Get somebody like Heidi in there. I'm not available, but, you know, Heidi has a business doing this. Give her a call.
She'll take care of it.
Get that done. Yeah.
Well, and I can't remember. I know it was a Sim case, and so they got rid of the doll, and I do believe in the end they were okay, but apparently whoever they gave this doll to has this, what is your issue, of having issues. So I wasn't on this case, so I don't remember all the details.
The only person you want to give that doll to is somebody who knows how to properly dispose of it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I just wouldn't be just handing that off to somebody.
And that kind of stuff, like with the burning too, is what people do because they saw it in a movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, I'll just burn it. And it's like, well, no. That's just because it was in a movie doesn't mean it's right way to dispose of something. So. Or to
Exactly.
Take care
of
the energy.
Yeah, you need to. Yeah, talking to your practitioners who spend, you know, their life studying these things. And also as a practitioner, I think it's very important. People have, and this is, again, you know, partially due to fiction and movies, you know, things like that. They think that if you're a practitioner that you know all. You know what I mean? Like, for instance, one of the reasons that I have a 100% success rate in clearing hauntings is because I screen my callers and I make sure that I feel confident that I can help that person before I go into a situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so it depends on what you have going on. Call the people who know what they're doing in that specific thing. For instance, if I go into a situation and I figure that it's demon infested, or, you know, demon isn't a word we witches like because I don't believe they're fallen angels and, you know, that whole thing, but diabolical energies, you know, malevolent energies that are not human. I call my friend who I know works with demonic energy and I let her handle it.
Right.
You know, so it's very important for people to know what they know and what they don't know and to be very conservative and cautious. And it's important for practitioners to be able to say, you know, I specialize in this. I know you're very ethical, Heidi, in this, and it's one of the reasons that I like you.
Well,
I've met
you.
Practitioners who kind of sell this whole, I am, you know, I can do all. And it's like, yeah, most people can't do all.
Right.
You know, you specialize in something and know what your limitations are.
Yeah.
And, so people need to kind of be aware of that. And like I said, I would not hand anything off. I mean, I've seen, how many times have you been, I've gone to eBay. Right? Cursed doll for sale. Okay?
Like,
I don't know what about that seems like a good idea to folks.
I probably found those too.
Probably don't want to do that.
I know. I'm like, really? You're gonna sell it. You're going to make profit on, you know, and I've had a few people or things that I've seen on Facebook too on the thing, and it says that it's haunted or whatever, and I'm like, if it's really haunted, do you want me to like get that off your hands and take care of it, or do you want me to just come over if you want to keep it and I can help you figure out how to keep it without it being a problem? Like, is this real? Because if it is, you know, there's ways to deal with it, not just sell it and get rid of it, and then you don't get an answer, so you know they're messing around, and it's like, come on, don't be doing that. So
And there's also, there are a lot of people, being a Wiccan high priestess, this is kind of a soapbox issue for me. I have seen people on eBay and different places going, you know, Wiccan blessed prosperity ring or whatever. And they act like because a Wiccan blessed it, somehow it's going to bring you this, whatever it promises to bring. And I would just like to say that as a Wiccan high priestess, that's not how it works. So when people make these promises, that's not, that you know, they're usually 9 times out of 10, they're snake oil salesmen, and you just don't want to waste your money on that stuff. Because it's not how magic works. And magic is real to a certain degree, obviously, you know, but it is bound by the rules of the universe, obviously. It doesn't break natural laws. Although I have bent time a couple times accidentally, which was cool, and that's another show. But, you know, you can have stuff happen where you're like, whoa, what just happened there? But at the same time, you know, people use that word witch. And it's just, people are so gullible. I don't want to say gullible because that's like blaming them. People are vulnerable because of not having the education that they deserve to have about it. And so if you have questions about that, you know, I'm available. Like if you have questions about Wicca or about witchcraft or anything like that, it's, you know, email me through the, Gathering, they can get a hold of me, or it's you can email me at kristenbarton2003@yahoo.com. I'll answer your question, and I won't charge you. So, you know, be careful. Be safe.
Exactly. Well, and if I was going to send anybody, if anybody came to me, well, and people do come to me asking about the Wiccan religion, and I send them to your, actually I send them to your book, because at the time, I mean, I know until recently you've been absolutely swamped, and so I send them to your educational book on the Wiccan religion, because it's perfect, and it answers a ton of questions.
It does.
And if I'm going to steer them to anybody, it's going to be you.
Yes.
So, because I know that you will give people the real deal and true answer. Absolutely.
Yep. So yeah, this is, I don't know. I'm just very excited about this Yule, this solstice, and it's just a very sacred, special time. And I hope everyone out there will have a sacred, special time with their family, because what I love is when we have this multi-layered spiritual meaning, where we have Christmas and we have Hanukkah and we have Yule and you know, all of the different, we have Saturnalia, which, you know, was originally the holiday on the 25th of December. We have all these different beautiful layered traditions that people are all experiencing with their loved ones. And that makes such magic. You know, have you ever just sat and felt the energy like on Christmas Eve?
Yes.
And you can just feel it, can't you?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
It is.
Absolutely. Well, and even now, because I, you know, I have a dog and we go outside, and something about the energy outside right now at night is so powerful. Yes. It is really, really amazing.
Oh, yeah.
So I just soak it in, and now that it hasn't been just absolutely frigid, you know, I can go outside at, you know, 10, 11. I mean, I know it's darker before that, but some of the, when the stars really start to shift, and then like 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night, it's just so powerful outside. It's just beautiful.
Well, we just had a new moon, and then we just came out of Mercury retro.
Yes.
And the energy, we've just gone into a bunch of new houses, and I'm not an astrologer by any stretch of the imagination. That is not my specialty in Wicca, but I do know that we have kind of had some very heavy astrological stuff going on, which is why we have a lot of heavy stuff going on in the world, you know?
Yeah,
you can feel it, and I just love the sacredness of repeating rituals that have been done. It's like everyone from all the different times connects together in that one timeless moment, and we're all together.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
It is true.
Including me with my great-great-great-grandchildren, and I'm already dead, and they're remembering me.
See?
Yeah. That's a cool
With the rocking chair.
Yeah.
With the rocking chair.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, and Charlotte's in the rocking chair now with her granddaughter. How about that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I actually got to see a little peek of that in a dream. I didn't get to see very well, but I saw a grown woman from the back rocking her baby, singing to her baby, and she was sitting in the moonlight in a house, and she was singing to her baby, and I came up behind her, and then I startled her, and I didn't realize that I wasn't in the body. At the time of the dream, it was like I shocked her because there was nobody there. She heard my footfall, and she turned around, and I recognized Charlotte as a woman, and she had a baby in her arms. And I woke up, and I was just like, ah, I just cried. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna have a little girl.
Oh, that's so cool. I love it.
Yeah, we've already done a divination with her. She insisted. She's a very matter-of-fact Virgo 5-year-old, and so she made us do the divination for the children, and she's going to have 2 girls and a boy.
Oh.
So like a good little Virgo, she's already named them, and I've forgotten what the names are, but she insists that she's already named her children.
Well, good.
Oh, my. That's awesome. That is cool.
Very organized.
That is super cute. Oh, my gosh. Well, okay, so here we are at 8:55. We only have a few minutes left. I can't believe this hour has swooped by like this, but it has. So, Kristen, any final parting words for this gathering show?
Oh, gosh.
There it is.
Everyone, just enjoy and feel the love of this time of year. No matter what your spiritual path is or what your situation is, there's always something beautiful to connect with and find. And I'm so excited about getting together with you ladies in the future. And you actually are going to have coming up on 4 years of having the show, right?
Yeah, I know. I can't believe Heidi's put up with me.
Hopefully we'll be able to get together. Well, maybe now that I'm a lady of leisure, I can be on more, you know, or I can
go
on some of your events. I'll bring my cane, I'm an old lady,
it's all good. But yeah,
go on a sim thing or something.
Absolutely. And we will definitely, because we're trying to put together a really fun celebratory 4th anniversary show for the end of January. So yes, we will, once we get a few more details for you, Kristen, I will share that. We will share that with you right away, because we want you to be there for
that.
Sure. Yeah, because it'll be fun. Because you're a big part of the gathering. You know, when we first started, you were there. And
yep.
It was the three of us, and then it was just me and Heidi, and poor Heidi has to deal with the nutcase over here.
Like I say, I'll get a little bit more involved, and, you know, whenever I'm welcome, I would love to do that, and I'm so excited. 4 years is a wonderful, kind of a signpost, if you will.
I think so. Yeah. So it's very just. Yeah. Celebrate in some way, shape, or form. Yes, for sure.
Absolutely.
For sure. All right. Well, Heidi, so should we talk about next week? Who do we have on our show next week? We have another super guest on next week.
We do. We have Kyle Cadell on our show next week. He was on a few months ago. He is with the International Paranormal Museum, which is in Kentucky, and he was a really fun guest.
Oh, yeah. He was really fun.
He's so excited about everything he talks about cryptid. He's a cryptid, enthusiast, and that's what, you know, they celebrate at this museum. They celebrate a lot of cryptids, and he's super excited to talk about cryptids. So he's going to help us talk about some holiday cryptids that I think we're going to have some fun next week, because next week is our holiday show. Since the following 2 weeks are actual holidays, we will be running reruns. So.
Yeah. It'll be fun. And you should listen, Kristen, if you have a minute and you want to listen in, because, as you know, we're cryptid researchers with Sasquatch and all the other cryptids, but we met this man down at CryptidCon in Kentucky last summer, and he's just a wild thing. We had him on a show already, you know, and he's got this museum, and he invited us down. He said, come on, we got to come down and look for these cryptids, and, you know, we have to go on a ghost hunt. And I mean, he's into everything, all facets of the paranormal world. So we asked him to come on and talk about, you know, cryptid Christmas. So, so that's going to be next week. That'll be really fun. Yep.
Oh, I will definitely listen in for sure. That sounds amazing.
He's super
nice. I want
to
go to the museum now.
Oh, yeah. We want to go, too. I know if we get back down that way, which we're, you know, trying to decide what our big expo will be next year, be it down south or out in Washington State, but we're going to do one or the other, and so if we go down that way, we'll definitely go visit him and that museum, because I think it'll be really fun.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. So,
that's next week.
That's next week on the Gathering Radio Show.
So for this week, I think we're going to wrap it up.
Yeah. Thank you, Kristen.
Yeah, thank you, Kristen.
Thank you, ladies.
Happy Yule and wonderful tidings. And let's all just, you know, revel in this time of year and enjoy each other's company and love and family and friends and all the things that go along with it, traditions, as you said. Let's just do it all.
Yeah, and if you don't have a tradition, you can start one this year.
That's right.
And create a tradition.
Start one.
Yes.
Merry Christmas, Hanukkah, Solstice, Kwanzaa.
There you go.
Good one. I love it.
Perfect.
All right.
That's awesome. Well, I just want to say thank you to everybody listening and in the chat room, and to Para X for hosting and Sarge for producing. Always the best producer ever.
Yes, thank you.
And so thank you everybody for a great show again. And Stephanie, next week.
I just want to say one thing. Everybody tune into The Calling. I promised those guys I would talk about this, because Cliff Brockman's wife, Melissa, will be on, and she'll be talking about horror stories and paranormal stuff like that. So it'll be a good show.
Okay. Fun.
That's my plug.
That's on The Calling.
All right. That's on The Calling. Show?
Tomorrow, yes.
Tomorrow, so awesome.
At 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, and we will be back on with the Crypto Christmas next year, next week.
That's right. So tune in next week to the gathering. And all thank you. Yes, we're out of time. So thank you, everybody. Have a great week. We'll catch you next week.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Kristen.
Bye.